taxman came here at 7:30 now. I know. It happens.
And the least expected one.
Recording?
No.
They need to have the same sort of.
How many more do we need?
Well, one for each church.
There's one for each church.
No.
And there's only one coming through.
And we know. She's got, she's pretty, diligent.
About your schedule and the schedule they.
I'm usually here earlier.
She's coming up with me, so she probably addressed me.
Park being the operative word.
Yeah, exactly. When we restart.
It'll be nice to share.
It'll be you. She didn't.
Jason, she's a bitch. She's a bitch.
Okay.
I just hope she has some traffic. We're gonna start momentarily, everyone. Just waiting for one more commissioner.
I know what you mean. It doesn't make sense.
Is there anyone that would like to speak this evening but has not signed up?
Watch out for that.
What I tell ya. Be right here.
Okay.
Call that one.
And that's fine with you too.
I do it a lot myself.
This is gonna be a problem.
That's corner, huh?
Some of the places I need you to, I won't be able to go through without him.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah.
I think this is a triple concern.
Do you want to close that door? Come on, close that door.
Yeah.
No, square.
That location is not.
Yeah.
I'm opening these up with five.
Calls for that.
They have to make that a sidewalk.
Yeah, but see, that's why I.
That's what I was gonna say, what you're gonna say is you can pay more.
Yeah, but see, the thing is.
If I wanna go to Stanton Square, or you wanna go to Stanton Square.
That's the one we always had trouble with, until they build that sidewalk on the other side. Okay, because that, the bus does that too, so it doesn't matter.
I know, it doesn't let you off when you want it to. That's the problem.
Good evening, everyone. I'm gonna bring this public hearing, it's being held by the Central Maryland Transportation and Mobility Commission to order, and I'm gonna turn it over to Kristen to welcome everyone and make some introductory remarks.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Kristen Tolan, the General Manager of the RTA. I'd like to start by introducing the commissioners we have here this evening. So we have Alan Cornell, the commission chair representing Howard County, Michael Dyer and Nathan Grace, except for Nathan says Robert Love, from the city of Laurel, Jay Davis representing Prince George's County, and John Spencer from Anne Arundel County. I'd also like to introduce the acting administrator for Howard County's Office of Transportation, Chris Etoff. He's jumping right into the RTA, so.
First week.
Great, congratulations. Thank you all for joining us this evening. We are convened by the Central Maryland Transportation and Mobility Commission to obtain comments from the public on the proposed routes and or schedule changes affecting the RTA routes, the 401, 403, 404, 405, 406, 407, 408, 409, 409B, 414, and 501. The notice for this hearing was made by publication in the Capital Gazette, the Howard County Times, the Laurel Leader, the Sound Off, the Greenbelt News. It was also posted on our fixed route and paratransit buses. The notification was sent to libraries and community organizations. There were radio and TV spots. The state and local officials were contacted, and it was posted on the transitrta.com website. I'll quickly run through the procedures for the remainder of the evening. First, the purpose of this evening's hearing is for you to provide comments, concerns, and suggestions on the proposed transit development plan, route and schedule and or schedule changes affecting the RTA routes. All of the proposed route changes and enhancements are outlined in the Take One booklet, which are available on the table if you haven't received one. We will hear from anyone present who signed up to speak. The names will be called in order from the sign-in sheet, and each person will be allowed 3 minutes each. If you have not signed up, Ms. Supel, you can speak with her and get your name on the list. To ensure we hear from everyone, we will adhere to the 3 minute time limit. If you have additional comments or wish to submit written testimony, you can feel free to fill out the public comment card before you leave this evening. Following a review of all the testimony received from the public hearing, the staff will prepare a report that includes all of the comments received for the commission and the Howard County Executive, Dr. Balls. Your comments will be part of the public record examined by the county executive. Based on the feedback received and funding availability, a proposed plan for service changes will be presented to the county executive for his consideration with a proposed effective date of Sunday, March 31st, 2019. Please note that while we do value the feedback from everyone, today's meeting is going to be focused on the proposed route and or schedule changes. If you have questions either about the impacts of the proposed service changes on the service that's important to you or about some other issue, please feel free to speak to the representatives of the RTA and the Howard County staff who are here this evening at the end of the hearing. RTA and Howard County staff, as I say your name, if you could raise your hand so everybody knows who you are, if they don't already. For TDP service proposals, you can see Mr. Jason Kwan, Mr. Andrew Johnson, and Mr. Glenn Hogue. I got all sides of the room. For current RTA fixed route and mobility issues or concerns, you can see Mr. Johnson or Mr. Victor Jimenez over behind. Anyone that's interested in addressing the commission on day-to-day issues, concerns, or suggestions is invited to attend the regular monthly commission meeting. Our next meeting is January 22nd, 2019 at 1 p.m. here in this building. As well, I would invite any and all of you to join us January 10th, 2019 for the next Riders Advisory Council at 6 p.m. at the Bain Center. That's another opportunity for you to share any feedback with the group. If you haven't already done so, if you could all silence your cell phones, we'll go ahead and get started. I'll turn it over to Chairman Alan Cornell.
Thank you. Do we have the list? Who's gonna, Sue, could you handle that chore for us and introduce our first speaker, and let's get right to it.
Sure. Our first speaker is Marlene Hendler.
Put me down first, Marlene.
You didn't? But he put me in the, I'm in the hot seat anyway, I guess.
I put you on the sign-in sheet.
Oh, you put me on the sign-in sheet. You didn't realize that was...
Sorry.
Okay. I've been out of town for 13 days, so I really haven't had a chance to really take a good look at this. But when Mr. Delaney gets up and speaks, he will, because he and I have been going over some of our concerns together. So he and I basically have some of the same concerns that we have about this. But I will say that with some of the changes you made, you've turned some of the recommendations have turned
a one-vehicle trip into a two-vehicle trip, and some of the stops are not conducive for some people in wheelchairs. Especially the one at Snowden Square, because the sidewalk is so narrow in front of the bell shelter, it's really hard for me to get off there. And otherwise, that's why I use the mall a lot, whereas in order to shorten my length of time on the bus, I'd have to go to Snowden Square, switch to another bus. It would only be maybe a few minutes after one bus dropped me off. But if I go to the mall and then go back, I'd end up having to sit longer. The other thing is, we kind of noticed, if I'm right, that Walmart's not even on there. Did you find the bus thing for Walmart?
I didn't. No, I haven't been able to figure out which route I didn't seem to be here. Because what was the 406 and now the 408 is running that way. The 406 used to run over to Columbia Dobbin Center to where the Walmart is and other facilities and stores. Right now, I don't see where the 406 is going over there. I don't see where the 408's going over there, so I don't know what route is now going to take you over to the Dobbin Center where the Walmart, which is a main shopping complex for many of the people in the Long Reach area and down along Tamar Drive. So,
yeah, we kind of noticed that though, with the bus there. Not focusing on the
Walmart. That's 408.
But,
408.
Huh?
Columbia Crossing.
That's Columbia Crossing, but Dobbin, the Walmart's
right,
over at Dobbin Center.
I know,
but the 408 doesn't go over there. At least it's not showing it on the map.
Yeah, so those are basically my concerns, or some of my concerns. She knows the rest of them.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Okay.
And one of the three maybe can help you once and answer the question once we get through everybody.
Okay.
Thank you.
Actually, under 3 minutes, Mark. Just want to let you know. Try that again?
Under
3 minutes, Mark. Okay, next up was Philip Delaney, which I know Philip
See,
just
I
kind of added.
The wrong thing.
Yeah, you did.
I have some comment if I wanted to.
You did.
I thought that was just a sign-in sheet.
Yeah.
As Marlene was saying, we both travel a lot together because I help her a lot as her aide and so forth, so I see a lot of the issues she deals with the wheelchair and I deal with. But one of the issues is what we were just speaking about is what route will take us to the Dobbin Center, because I'm looking at the 408 the 406 used to take us over from Columbia Crossing to the Dobbin Center, to the banks, food, convenience stores, many other stores, but mainly the Walmart. But according to the map, the 408, which is now running the route of what used to be the 406, it's not showing where it's going to the Dobbin Center. And when I look back at the 406, that's, of course, coming down another way. So I really don't know what route do we take to get over to the Dobbin Center. And if it is another bus, then again, it's one more that where we used to take one bus, now we have to take two buses. And I mean, the inconvenience in that is when you consider people in wheelchairs or even myself with health issues, dealing with weather conditions of, unless it's a booth, you know, you're out in the sun, the rain, the weather, the cold, and so forth. So I mean, it's quite a hardship. What else did I have? And of course, as Marlene also, I think, mentioned, many of the stops are a real hardship, and we've discussed this. We're both members of the TPAC group and also PAG members, and we've brought up the issue many times, and I know they keep saying they're looking into it, of trying to correct these things, but many of the stops are a real hardship for not just somebody on a wheelchair, but just for an example, if you go over to Target, you're let off onto a grassy area, no concrete area or what. So this is a real hardship for somebody in a wheelchair, even if it's dry. But if it's been rained or wet or what, they can get stuck there and so forth. I've stepped down and almost slipped myself, particularly after, say, a snow or whatever. So, I mean, then when you go to the other part of that stop coming back, there's no handicap ramp. It's just woods and trees, and it's dark, very dark lit because there's a tree there, so you can hardly see the bus sign. She has to sit out in the driveway that goes back behind the Pier 5 stores and everything. She's sitting in a driveway out in the street.
Right.
And so she can't even get up on the grassy area. So, I mean, that's just two issues.
Yeah, they do the same thing with
Walmart. Walmart's another problem because going over, you can be let off at the booth or whatever, and there's some concrete to be let off. But if you're coming back, and particularly with packages and what, it's even a hardship for me. You have to cross the street, and there's no handicap ramp. There's just a small grassy area that you have to stand in. So that creates quite a hardship. That's a big issue. We've been trying to get corrected with a lot of these stops, and I know some of it they've said it depends on who owns the property to get a change, whether it's the government or the private industry, you know, that owns it or what. But I mean, it really is, and traveling with her, I've seen many times, it's a real problem with her getting on and off, because she's actually gotten stuck getting off the bus, and we've had a heck of a time getting her chair back up, you know, to where she can motorize from there.
Did you have anything else? Please?
Let me just look here real quick.
You made notes.
Well, it's just, like I say, on a couple of the things, it's just where we would be able to get in to the food center, which I haven't been able to figure out how we get down there, other than I think you'd have to go to the mall and catch another bus. And sometimes, you know, hopefully in the future, they've talked about making a main bus stop there where you'll be able to tell what bus is what. But right now, it's still total confusion running up and down as to what bus is what and so forth and with the people and crowds.
Who should Ms. Delaney speak to after this? Who would be the best?
Jason
Kwan
with
so
Howard.
If you would get with Jason.
Okay. And just one more issue before I leave. I live down in the Long Ridge area, down in what's called Shalom Square. It goes a small street that dead ends into our complex, that and the Longwood high rise. It's all handicapped and senior that live there. We do have a bus, which used to be the 406, that serviced us down there. We've had a problem for years now with the church, which I think they've just sold it to the Seventh-day Adventists, and they have their main service on Saturdays. But my issue or my problem is there's a little circle right at the end where the buses have to go around. If anyone's parked around that circle, the buses can't get around. They'll call in. They'll tell them not to service.
Is it a public road or a private road?
It's a public road.
Is it posted no parking?
Yeah, well, that's the it's a crazy setup because the island, as you come in, it's like almost like a teardrop instead of just a circle.
Right.
They've got three signs on that teardrop that say no parking. But the people think that means you can't park around the little teardrop.
Maybe you
they
can get
park around the outer areas, and then the buses can't get around there. Plus, people will go up the wrong side of it. I'm surprised there hadn't been accidents. But if we don't get the bus service down there, we have to walk all the way from our complex, either all the way down to the high school, down off of Tamar.
What's the name of your complex?
Shalom Square and Longwood Apartments.
Is it Cloud
Leap,
the road?
No, it's Fort Angar. And my last point, I've been to the police about it over the years. Nobody seems to do anything about it. They all keep passing it off to somebody else. My last issue was going to go to a county council meeting and see if they can alter or change the way that's designed there or post it better.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
I saw it fall. Yeah, I know.
Next, I have listed Joy Riley.
I know. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are you?
Very well.
Good. I have had the
fortunate pleasure to interact a lot with Mr. Jimenez, Ms. Tolan, and of course, Mr. Johnson. They see emails from me almost every week. I am asking a question, couple of questions. Number one, in regards to the change with the 409, in the 409B, I noticed that the service is being cut off almost 2 hours earlier. Is there any particular reason for that?
It's lower ridership. Okay.
Now here's my other issue in regards to the 406, because he brought up a very good point. That is a problem. I've been on that 406 bus, and literally the bus driver has had to skip that stop because construction workers were there and just parking wherever. There really is a big problem there, and sometimes the bus driver has to let people off in a place where it's not an assigned bus stop. So that is definitely something to look into. My other question is in regards to the...
Ma'am, may I ask a question? What specific stop is that you were just referencing?
That's the stop right Shalom Square on Fortland Garth, because there's actually two stops on that street.
Okay.
So the first one is fine. It's the one that you, like he said, when you get right around that circle.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I know that it is not procedure to let off a customer at an unassigned stop, but they've had to do it at times.
Okay.
The other question that I've had in regards to the 406 route, I do know that Department of Social Services will eventually be moving to Patuxent Woods. And at that point, will the 406 still have to go through part of the gateway complex that actually goes to where the current location is for Department of Social Services?
Social Services in the gateway building?
No, they're not in the gateway building, but they're in that they're in that complex. They're in that complex, but they're going to be moving in 2019 to Patuxent Woods, so that all public services will be in Patuxent Woods.
We will still service the Gateway Complex in that area there.
Mm-hmm.
We will no longer go into that facility once Social Services departs there.
Okay.
We will continue to service Gateway.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And two last questions for you. As a consumer, what I've often found is that until you put yourself in the shoes of anyone consuming the service, you never fully understand. So my question to all of you is, if any of you taken the time to actually ride on some of these routes to understand what consumers...
See what we're dealing with.
We
are required to, as a commissioner, to go on a route.
Okay.
I'm speaking for the commissioners, yes.
Okay, excellent. Then I'm glad you understand. Thank you.
Not as well as you.
Yes, indeed. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Kristen Fulton. Hi. I have a few concerns, and now that I've looked at the route, where the 406 or the without an area that they're talking about, they're planning on dropping off there. It's very difficult to get across the street, not only for somebody in a wheelchair, but also for somebody, who may not move as quickly. Because my son and I have recently been trying to cross that street in several areas, and it's
across Dobbin Road, ma'am.
Yes,
right.
It could be challenging.
It is very busy. Yes.
So that would be one of my concerns. We live over in Alta, near Alta, and I know there's not a whole lot you can do about this. I know the drivers have said different things, because the delivery trucks are coming through there, and they're stopping at our bus stop. So I don't know if it needs to be better labeled or what the circumstances, but it's not only the delivery trucks, but there are other, people that live in that area that are double parking in the area. I've talked to the police. The police won't do anything. I don't know what my other options are. My son and I are both special needs. It kind of makes it difficult. We've got to walk out into the street just to make sure that, we can cross the street, or, the buses are trying to deliver people in wheelchairs and can't even pull ramp out because, you know, they're in the middle of the street, you know, so, so those are just like some of our concerns that, you know, we were looking into.
Are we familiar with the stop she's discussing?
I didn't quite hear.
Wildlake also?
Wildlake?
Yeah.
The interface center?
Yeah, it's, no, it's under the building.
Oh, it's under the building?
Yeah.
Building.
The new location, yeah, the new building, the new office building, they stop under the building.
That's, I thought there were speed bumps and it was 15 mile an hour speed limit.
Oh, no.
No.
And a lot of times, people don't even realize it's a two-way street and they're like parking in the middle of the street and all kinds of crazy things.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's any assistance that they can give us.
Forgive me, I'm not hearing you.
Oh, no, that's wrong. If you're not familiar with the neighborhood, you would know we need to do it.
So did you, ma'am, may I ask a question? Did you speak to the police about this?
Several times.
And the response was?
Oh, well, just let us know if it gets really bad, you know, but I mean, we all live in, my son, my mom, we all live in that neighborhood. You know, and it's just like, I mean, they're not listening to your drivers, you know, they don't care. They're blocking the bus stop that should, you know, or they're, or even on, you know, on other parts of the route where they're passing the bus stop, or I'm passing the buses while they're stopped at the stop. You know, it's just dangerous.
There should be a fine like there is with Metro. I know they're going Metro. They're like fines if you're parked right at an actual bus stop. Yeah. That there's a fine for that. Maybe that should be posted.
That's not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Metro has their own police force who can write tickets. Well, and that's what helps it a little bit, because we're relying on the community resources, but we will definitely take it back and see what we can do in terms.
This is about their molecules.
Yes.
The thing that
yes.
makes people think it's not a public street, I think, is the fact that it goes between the two ends of Alto Wall Lake.
Yeah, it's a
so they think it's a private street. That they can park on, stop on, talk to people. And I drive through there, or try to, and I've had to actually back up, go around the building, go around.
And the buses are going into the other lanes.
Taking all four lanes, which means, of course, the buses can't do this.
Right. So people moving into other lanes, you know, the other lane to get around, which is, you know, putting everybody in.
I'm willing to take that up with Howard County Police and see if we can, you know, ask for their assistance with it. And the other side, I don't know if you talk to your building management also to see if they can, you know.
It's not. We don't live there. We live in the neighborhood.
I see.
But that's where we catch the bus.
Right, I see. So it's Alta building management that we might need to talk to as well to see if they can help manage the situation and keep those areas clear, keep the bus stop clear.
I'm trying to go in there and tell them that their people are parking there, but
yeah.
It seems like when they're doing it, nobody's around.
Okay.
I
will give that a try as well.
Thank you.
Sir, I have a question in reference to what she's mentioning. Wild Lake used to be a big area for open space there, and there was no apartment building from the beginnings. I'm one of your originals from Columbia from the 60s. And that was had an area for your bus to go right around, never a problem. The company who owns the, who took, bought the property to build and change the village, changed it so that we are now stuck with the apartment building, which is not private property like it used to be. And that makes a very big difference in our route now. I find it very poor having that apartment building where our buses used to go. Nobody thought about, can a bus route go through there correctly? Because that was our first village.
Thank you. I do plan on talking to the police and to the Alta management department to see if they can keep that area clear.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Next up, we have Lawrence May.
Good evening. I'm a relatively new rider due to a disability. So I've ridden all of the buses that leave from Columbia Mall. The one that I'm most concerned about is the change to the 501 route. It used to come up Snowden River Parkway, but now that it's not going to Broken Land, they're saying that it's going to be serviced by the 406. They're putting a stoplight at between Rustling Leaf and Minstrel Way in order to stop a lot of traffic and accidents. My question first is, are the same stops that were serviced by the 501 going to be serviced by the 406?
I'm getting a nod in the affirmative.
Yes. Okay.
Would you like to speak to that, sir?
Because
along Snowden there, correct? Is that where you're talking about?
Yes. Right, because the issue is that there's no sidewalks on Snowden River Parkway.
Right.
And it's dangerous to be crossing the streets and everything, so I just wanted to make sure they were going to be at the normal spots. The other thing is I've noticed is that the buses have numbers, and I know that they used to have colors, and it seems like there's a disconnect between the drivers, because some of the drivers are still referring. You ask them a question, they tell you to catch the purple or whatever. I don't know the purple or whatever. So we need to get it either they're going to use numbers or we're going to use colors. Yes. Because
is that a prevailing
sentiment? With all the root changes, the colors and the letters will go away, and it will slowly be numbers.
Easier.
So we have drivers that have been here 15 years who still refer to the colors and the letters, but with these changes, they would go strictly to the numbers. It would not have a color or a letter.
Colors are much easier.
And there's one other question that I have. Does anybody know who is responsible for the county connector?
I do. I can take your comment and I can share that with them.
Because I've noticed that there are times when buses may be late getting into a specific main, like the mall, and they'll ask if anybody needs to catch a certain bus and they'll hold the buses. The county connector has no way of communicating with anybody. And so if they're late and there's no way for them to stop a bus, I mean, they've been late, they've taken breaks when they're not supposed to. It's the county connector is disconnected from, I think, the rest of the RTA, because they just basically seem like they do what they want to do, and that is very important, getting people from the county into the city from the light rail, since no bus goes directly to BWI anymore. And there's one other thing, that on the 28th of November, something disturbing happened on the 501. Somebody threw up on the bus. There is no hazmat kit. I don't know whether the guy just got sick from, he was drunk. I don't know whether the guy was sick because he had a disease. I don't know anything. But all they did was use towels or napkins to soak up the vomit and threw it in the trash can.
On an RTA bus?
Yes.
Or a county connector?
No, it was on the 501.
Okay.
And it was the 501. It's happened almost immediately after Arundel Mills. So we had to drive from Arundel Mills all the way to Columbia Mall with the smell of vomit. Mm-hmm. With the heat on and not knowing whether or not there was anything communicable in the vomit. And with the seats being porous, that bus, it's bus 9536. That bus still stinks now.
Most of the old buses stink, let's be honest. If it's not a new bus, it's in poor condition and they all need to be replaced. So
thank you. Yes,
I agree.
Thank you.
Now, those were the things that I was concerned about, because, like I said, it's wintertime now. It's different. You know, people are going to be, I know buses are late sometimes for traffic and everything, but there's sometimes the attitude of the bus drivers doesn't make it any easier. You'll ask them a question, like, what time are you supposed to be there? They get defensive, and there was one time I was fighting for one of the drivers. A guy was getting ready to punch him because of his attitude, so I'll be riding.
If you would be willing, we have the Rider Advisory Council and our regular commissioner meeting. If you could spare the time to come back and talk to us about it, it's a better forum for us to deal. I'd like to deal with that.
Okay.
Thank you.
There's a whole lot of issues that need to come up with
that. Definitely.
Yes.
Yes.
Are you guys active in the Riders Advisory Council?
No, but I prayerfully will be able to be there.
Try to coordinate with this RTA staff. That's a great form, and we value your input tremendously.
Okay. Do they provide email addresses? Do we collect?
Yes.
So we can communicate with you. We have your email address.
But if you can, please come to those. And our monthly commissioner meeting. Come to that. We hear you on the buses. We've had some replaced. We, as commissioners, are advocating very strongly for more funding for buses, and we'll keep advocating.
Thank you. Yeah, I had to go directly to former County Executive Kittleman to get the 503 taken care of.
Excellent.
With the 60 buses.
We received six, so we're working on it. We're trying.
Can I also talk to your governor?
Is Deborah Stepien?
Well, thank you. My first issue is why we have these meetings way here when many of the bus riders are in Columbia. But I'm so thankful they gave me a free cab, picked me up at Wegmans where I work, and here I am. But I don't know, I would come to more meetings, but like it seems I should be more closer, since a lot of these changes, many of them more applied to Columbia. Anyway, also, I'm glad to hear there's going to be more buses. I mean, there's more routes. Some of them are going to be every half hour. But are we going to get, I see we got some new buses, but are we going to get the hand-me-downs again that we had? The hand-me-downs that we had for those few years that broke and they broke and they broke.
And they're still broken. We do not intend on taking any more hand-me-down buses.
Okay, alrighty. And what was my other thing? Yes, I really wish you just had a bus that would go to BWI, Amtrak, and there. It's ridiculous. Otherwise, you got to take a cab. And when I did take the connections bus, you can barely see it's some white bus with the tiny sign. They should have a magnetic sign that says BWI Airport Amtrak Arundel Mills, at least.
Yes.
I mean, just a bigger sign and, you know. Right. Okay. Then, right. But I don't see why we live in Columbia. Many of us maybe take a train or a plane. We should just get a direct route. And plus there should be schedules because they don't have printed schedules. When I ask them, they don't have them printed. My other thing is, it's online or something, I think. Yeah.
County Connector schedule will come up on the under the RTA.
Oh, okay. I don't know. It took it a few times.
We do have a link
it's online
on the RTA website for it, but
and you can download it on your phone.
Okay. So we're gonna. How many new buses are we getting?
So we received six in December. There are another two that have. The procurement has started, and then we will continue to work on grant opportunities to try and get more.
Okay. And then the other thing, I already put some comments in. Some have maybe noticed this. It's only a few bus drivers. Most bus drivers are good, but certain ones allow passengers to stand right here and talk to the bus driver throughout the trip. So even though it's not most of the bus drivers, I took the e-bus recently. It was like back and forth, and it was like a party. So some bus drivers got to be watched. And you all mentioned you all do take the buses now once in a while because you really got to experience it more.
Yeah.
Okay. And I need a ride home, but I'll. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is my first meeting here, and I asked to be last because all of my issues, in fact, are with the services or the lack of services and facilities in Prince George's County. I do understand that this particular meeting is about proposed changes in Columbia, Maryland. And I will respect what Ms. Tolan advised to meet with Judith Davis and Nathan Grace after the meeting, because there are a myriad of issues in Prince George's County, hopefully, that you are aware of that are unacceptable, to say the least.
I live in Greenbelt, and we have a regular meeting with the Prince George's County Department of Transportation and WMATA, and we're very well aware of the lack of service, especially ours, on weekends and late at night.
Well, I have to say that it extends to much more than that.
Then I'll hear you after the meeting.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak this evening that did not sign up?
I just have one remaining comment, and this is for everyone on the, as part of the commissioners and everyone with RTA. There needs to be a consistency in communication between your bus drivers and your dispatch and your customer service reps, everyone, because part of the problem, actually a good portion of the problem, is the lack of communication, and there are different things being said and different things being communicated to the consumer.
That's true.
Please come to the advisory council and come to the commissioners meeting.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
Alan, you might, I'm asked to make curtis.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, I am actually the passenger representative for Howard County, and all of the people who spoke tonight, Alan asked you all to come to the meeting, and I'm really re-emphasizing, please come to the Riders Advisory Council meeting. We do need the input of the county so that we can continue to move our transportation forward. So if you can find the time, and like they said, you can get the date and all from the one of the administrators, I would like to have your name so that I could personally communicate with you if you do feel that you want to start attending those meetings.
Excellent.
But I encourage each and every one, because our input is what helps make the ball keep rolling.
Absolutely.
And I'm sorry, what was your name again?
It's Asta Curtis. And if you'll see me here, I'll be here. The ride isn't going to be due for a little while. But just, you know, come to me, give me your name, and we'll talk. Okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yes.
My name's Janine Giffen. Janine Giffen, G-I-F-F-I-N. Some of the routes right now seem to be too long, and it really forces the drivers to speed, sometimes dangerously, in order to try to get back to the mall and to coordinate with the other buses. Now, I can't tell from this how long it's actually going to take for some of these new routes, but I would say especially, I noticed 405, 406, and I think 408. It's just too many, there's just too many places that they may have to stop, and anyway, it's just, I mean, the other day, one driver just kept making one rolling stop after another, you know, all the way through Long Reach, just trying desperately to get back to the mall. And he wasn't even late, but he had to do that.
So that is one of the things they tried to address.
Good.
In terms of the schedule, allowing
Great.
Enough time.
Okay. I'd also wish that the drivers would have a chance to go and get a snack or make a pit stop or something when they do get to the mall. But sometimes, you know, some of them just get in there and they just don't have time for any kind of break at all. So, personally, I wish, I live right off Cradle Rock, I wish that the 503 would run on Sundays.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't see anything about any changes on that. Okay, and I also sometimes take the train, and it's really difficult now. I used to be able to take the 501 to get to the Amtrak station,
yeah,
and occasionally the airport, and it's really difficult now, and it's very expensive to take Lyft or Uber to the train station or the airport. So that's mostly it. Except also, I wish there was an easier way to get into Baltimore and to Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. I just have one more thing to say about, I noticed that, you know, the new schedules and things, but what's happened sometimes is if a driver is late going in, or like if they're late going into, coming into Arundel Mills, and they're like 10, 15 minutes late because of the traffic on 100 is horrible at certain times of the day, so they're going to be late. If you're going to be late, that's one thing, but they should never leave early. And there are times when the drivers are leaving early. Like, yeah, they're supposed to leave on the hour on the 501, and there are times when they've left 5-7 minutes early, and it just messes everything up. And that's another disconnect with the county connector. The county connector should be able to link up with when those buses leave Arundel Mills. Mm-hmm. And it just, you could have somebody waiting out there for an additional 45 minutes because somebody left early because they were late getting to Columbia Mall on their last run.
I am gonna share the feedback that we've gotten today with the county connector to try and work on that communication.
Sometimes at 501 loops around Arundel Mills. So if you wait a few minutes, it may come back. I don't know, I just knew from experience, I worked at Arundel Mills. It could be that they don't.
No, they're doing construction on the other side of the casino now, so they don't make that loop anymore.
Oh,
they just go straight out.
Any others? Do we have any other speakers?
That was everyone on the list, unless someone else would like to speak.
Jason, do you guys have any comments you would like to make at this time?
I mean, not in particular. Recognize that, you know, some of the comments are about the service in general, and then some of the comments are, you know, addressing the route changes. So I've been trying to compartmentalize the differences in the comments, and but definitely appreciate everyone coming and giving their input, and you know, there's some good items for us to follow up on here.
We really listened to the input that we obtained through the TDP planning process that came up with these proposals. A lot of that input really asked for, you know, more frequent service, better schedules, so, you know, shorter ride times, more reliability, more weekend service. So we really tried to do that in balance of what we have. So there are more weekend service, there are additional Sunday service, there are more Saturday service, there are no 2-hour headways. They're all one, at most it's 1 hour, not 2 hours, and in some cases it's just half an hour. So, you know, we have tried to move in the direction of improving your trip, your ride. It may not be perfect, but we're still, you know, with your input, we're going to try to still tweak it and fine tune it so that it makes.
We're not going to try, we're going to. Yeah. We're going to tweak it and make it better.
And there are multiple phases to the TDP, so there is a long-term plan that has improvements that will build upon it. This is just the start.
Would any of the commissioners have any comments or thoughts you would like to share?
I certainly appreciate getting the feedback from the community. This is extremely important because sometimes although we do ride the buses and try to get experience the experience, it's extremely important to get feedback from the folks, so we appreciate it.
Jim?
And I do appreciate the folks that came out tonight. Obviously, there are a lot more of you. Maybe your moral support for the ones that actually stood up and said something, and that's always appreciated. Since I'm from Greenbelt, there's only a couple of routes that go from my area, which is College Park, Greenbelt. So it's a whole area that I obviously need to listen more about and maybe travel through, as you suggested. However, some of the things that you want, which is like more new buses, more service, more time, it all depends on funding. And we barely make enough even to support what we have. So we depend on monies from the state and money's from the partners. And the state has not been very, you know, if you get a chance to talk to your state delegates or state senators or even the governor, explain that the local transit providers need just as much funds as the new highways, the new bridges, and for heaven's sake, the maglev. I mean, I would rather have a local bus system that worked well than to have a fancy maglev. And that's where a lot of your money is going to go. So don't, you know, you're talking to us, talk to some of your representatives in Annapolis too, because they need to hear it as well. We're hearing it, but we're doing what we can. And let's see, some of the other things that was mentioned. The service of the, you know, the drivers, their attitude and so forth, that's something that she'll be working with the people who are our drivers.
Absolutely.
I have a question. Since you raised that issue, that is one of my issues as well. I wanted to know, what is RTA's policy for, you know, training their drivers in, you know, customer service? I know that that was a very big issue for me on the routes that I ride in Prince George's County. But I'm hearing that that's also an issue with some of the other routes in some of the other areas. And I talked to the drivers specifically because I'm, you know, a regular rider. And the feedback that I've gotten from the drivers themselves is that that's not part of their training. That's not part of RTA's policy, you know, which is unbelievable to me. But I will tell you this. Not only have I experienced poor customer service from some of the drivers, but I've also experienced it from the supervisors. In particular, there was an incident last week on the 302 bus where the driver got in an accident on Baltimore Boulevard around 9:15 in the morning. She had to pull over because the school bus driver almost ran her off the road. And there were four passengers on that bus, including myself, en route to Laurel Town Center. Myself was trying to make a connection on the 502 bus to get me to my job in Hanover. We sat there on the bus for 50 minutes, waiting for the driver to make a report, to call the police, to call a supervisor. You know, I myself am very observant about everything because I have over 30-some years background in customer service, having worked for Verizon. So I'm trained to be observant and take notes. And I made a mental note of the number of the school bus who almost collided with the RTA driver. And I was prepared to give any feedback if I was asked to do so. To make a long story short, the driver went through all the procedures, called everybody that she needed to call. There was a very slow response. But when the supervisor came, when the RTA supervisor came, and before she came, I had made a request to the driver to please see if she could make some arrangements to get us four passengers to Laurel Town Center so that we could make our connection, so that we could get to work. I will give her the benefit of the doubt and say that she was rattled and, you know. But what was unacceptable to me was when the supervisor came almost 40 minutes late, I'll say. And she pulled up in her car. I got off the bus and I went up to her car to ask if there was any way that she could make arrangements for us four passengers to get to our next stop. The supervisor was rude, I'll just say that. And she said to me, no, I have to make sure that we get this accident report and you can just catch a cab. And I said, whoa, you know, I don't know what I said, but I made a mental note to report it. Because to me, that was unacceptable for anybody to say that. to a rider, you know, but I just thought, well, if the supervisors, you know, talk that way, you know, to the riders, what can I expect from the drivers? And I did call and report it. And I don't know if you're familiar with my name, but I call quite frequently to make reports because I try to give you all the benefit of the doubt before I go further. I'm very concerned about some of the issues that I see. I've talked to some of the supervisors, some of the RTA supervisors themselves, who have told me that they have been fighting some of the fights in Prince George's County, particularly with the funding themselves, and have not gotten any responses. That is unacceptable, because Prince George's County, as I'm sure you all know, pays more taxes than any of the other counties in this area. That is unacceptable.
Well, you need to talk to your political leadership.
Oh, believe me, I plan to.
Who is your county council person?
I don't know who the county council person is, but I know that one of the representatives is Denny Hoyer. I've been asking questions.
He doesn't necessarily deal with that. Where do you live specifically?
I live in Beltsville.
Okay. That's Tom Dernoga.
Okay, Tom Dernoga. Thank you very much.
On the county council. He's newly elected. He used to be Mary Lehman.
Okay.
Well, that would be the senator, but the county council person.
Tom Dernoga.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for that information, because what I am prepared to do is to go as far as I need to go to make these changes. And I really mean that.
I encourage you to.
I have time. You know, all I need to know is who to contact, who to write letters to. And I really mean that, even up to the Department of Transportation. I don't want to have to do that. I should not have to do that, but as a taxpayer in Prince George's County, the disparity between the services is, it is a safety issue. It is unacceptable.
We hear you loud and clear, and I really encourage you to speak to the board.
Oh, you can believe it.
Excellent.
You can bank on it, as a matter of fact.
We would appreciate it very much. And if you would serve, I know we tried to get some riders on the advisory council from Prince George's.
Prince George's, we haven't gotten, so if you can be a part of the riders.
Maybe you can spearhead that for us. That would be great, because we have nobody from Prince George's. We've tried and tried and tried. And that would be good, because hearing it from you means a lot more than hearing it from us, to the political leadership. So thank you for that. Ma'am? Sure?
Yes, my name is Donna Dunbar, Hillary King's Contrivance, and for 8 years now. And I never still knew the schedule. Like, I take the Brown, I catch the bus at clock hour, and I'm going to get. But anyway, I usually connect with the Orange at King's Contrivance to go to the hospital or the college or whatever. I see you have a new 414 route that is supposed to be, I believe, part of the Brown. But when I was looking in the book, it says only Monday through Friday service, then Saturday or Sunday service. So first I'm hearing that the Brown is supposed to go into Hickory Ridge and take up part of the Orange that was going from the mall all the way to King's Contrivance. So then I'm hearing that this 414 is supposed, which is one of the Browns, is supposed to start at Hickory Ridge and go to the college and then to King's Contrivance. But if you're not going to have Saturday or Sunday service,
if you could speak with Andrew Johnson and Jason Kwan, they can help you and better answer the questions specific to the services.
If you would stay afterwards, please. We'd like to hear that a little more.
I think on weekends 4:04.
I think the 404.
Yeah, I take the 404 and the 407 every day.
Yeah, but I thought in the book it said that the 404 would no longer service. Was it the hospital?
Yeah, it's not going on to the hospital.
404 is not going to the hospital. That's bad because that's where all my doctors are. I live on 404. If I don't have the bus to go into the hospital, because I have epilepsy for 67 years, and that is so important to me, getting to the hospital, to my family doctor, which is next door, and my doctor's connected by the hospital itself.
So am I.
And if you guys would speak with Jason.
Okay, because we can't be without the medical services, or you're denying your handicap and the elderly. I live at Scotts Glen next to Lorien Nursing Home. And that area is a big demand of seniors. The land that our Scotts Glen is used to be a field with a ranch house and a swimming pool in the very beginning, some original Columbian. And it's come to a point now where we live, the needs of the elderly are going to be very important.
Absolutely.
And if you're going to cut out the service near Lorien, that's going to affect all of us seniors from being able to get to and from our doctors.
Does the 401 pick up that service now?
But you have to go to the hospital.
Pick it up.
Jay, you're cutting out, exactly. By Lorien Nursing Home, by going toward the mall or the opposite way.
Right.
And that's dangerous for me.
Or okay. I have to take the
I have to walk to the hospital many times, and that's dangerous to catch a bus.
Right, understood. If you would get with Jason, and make sure
I've never seen the change where you're deleting the elderly. The right to have a bus.
That was not the intention.
But that's what happened.
Okay. So I think it would be most helpful for you to speak with Jason and Andrew.
Please get with Jason and Andrew.
I will.
Thank you.
On
behalf of the commissioners, we want to thank you. And again, I want to implore Prince George's County residents, Howard County residents, come to the advisory council because that's invaluable to us as commissioners and to the RTA staff. And we don't have enough local representation, so please come do it. That's the right forum. Please do it.
Anne Arundel County residents as well.
Yes, I'm sorry. And the city of Laurel.
Again, you all were kind enough to provide transportation.
Yes.
Because a lot of, we definitely greatly, and I think that's the reason why you've got such a bigger show now than probably ever before.
Excellent.
But I will say this to, in having these other meetings, they also have to be during the times where people can get to and from via public transportation, because if they're not, then it moves.
And so that's one of the issues in terms of with the Riders Advisory Council, looking at the location of the meeting, the timing of it, I think we've had two, three meetings. It's looking at the membership of it and what the committee is going to look like to make long-term decisions, like how will people get to and from, and we would have members and how that would work. So it's really in its infancy stage when we may start it.
Well, again, on behalf of the commissioners, thank you very much, and we'll do our best to try to keep improving service.
I'm not going to do that. Aye.